special. Every Lord's Day is special, but in another way, some that are special in different areas of work. Next Sunday will be a day like that. I hope that all of you are aware that the student lectureship begins next Sunday night here in this auditorium. One of the students will be speaking. I'm thankful that the church here can work with the student body in having this lectureship. It is basically planned by the students. There are classes on campus during the day, speakers in chapel, and the evening services will be here in our auditorium. We're thankful that you've chosen to use our auditorium in that way. Our Sunday evening service, our Wednesday evening services, at least the early service, will be involved with the lectureship. In addition to this, next Sunday morning, Billy Smith will be speaking at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Some of you students may not be aware that Billy worked with the congregation here in the capacity where Kevin is now. Billy was probably one of the first ones, at least was here in our program. And we are looking forward to his being back to speak at 8 and 10 next week. And at the Bible study hour, a guest speaker who will be on campus for the family weekend will be speaking here at Bible study. So next Sunday is, in a sense, a super Sunday, especially in connection with our university work. Students, help us to promote this. This is your lectureship, particularly. Talk about it, and next Sunday night, particularly, try to have as many of the students here, and all of the local people are encouraged to come and bring others. I think you will hear some great messages, because we have some outstanding speakers among our students, and I know that next Sunday is going to be a great day, and the week, Sunday through Wednesday, will be an important week in the student lectureship. This is either the third or fourth annual one, and I just hope and pray that it will continue every year. I think it has a place. I believe it's important. And I'm glad that we're able to work with you on this. Lord, give me patience, and I want it right now. That is said to be the prayer of today's youth, but let me tell you something. It's not just the young people that sometimes approach it like that. I suppose if there is any subject in the Bible where I ought to feel less than qualified to discuss it, it's the subject of patience. And I'm sure Judy's nodding her head. I am not an authority on patience. I try. I'm working on it. I think I'm doing a bit better. But I am not strong on patience. I suppose there's a sense in which all of us suffer a little bit in this area and need to work on the subject. Tonight's lesson is on the subject of patience as a part of the series Out of Those Christian Graces in 2 Peter 1. I want you to glance at 2 Peter 1 for just a moment. Look in your Bible at verses 5 through 7 where we remember, I think most of us remember the list that we are to add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love or charity. And perhaps a better translation would be that our faith supplies the virtue, and then the virtue supplies the knowledge, and the knowledge, temperance or self-control, and the self-control, patience. We've already talked about having a strong foundation of faith. We've talked about having courage, virtue. We've talked about the knowledge and the insight and understanding where we begin to, as individuals, learn how to make decisions of what's right and wrong. And last week, we tried to emphasize that God has given each one of us a personal responsibility to try to be in control of self. And how if we could have perfection in that, we'd do away with the need of any other kind of discipline. Self-control. Now he says, out of that self-control, we have patience. Some of you may be looking at a version that will translate that endurance. And that's somewhat the idea that's involved. In fact, if you check different translations and definitions of the word, you'll find endurance, perseverance, fortitude, steadfastness, steadiness. The idea of something that will last, something that will abide, the idea of being resolved to endure, this is really what is involved in patience. Patience is very important. I suppose no place in the Bible points this out any better than Hebrews 6:12, that we be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Here is a place where patience is put right there with faith, through faith and patience inherit the promises. Tonight, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at some simple facts about this subject of patience. Number one, we need to understand what it is not. Sometimes we may very well talk about a person being patient when he's really not patient. Patience is not indifference. Patience is not the attitude of apathy. Oh, here's a person who could care less what happens today. He really doesn't care whether the sun comes up or goes down. He never gets in a hurry. He goes about everything in a very slow, methodical way. He seems to not have a worry in the world, and sometimes we say that person is patient. No, that person may be lazy and about half dead. A person who is indifferent and apathetic is not patience. That's not what it's talking about. In the second place, though we shall see a little bit later that it involves endurance in times of persecutions and difficulties and problems, patience is not looking for persecution and is not learning to enjoy persecution just for the sake of enjoying it. I think I know some people who just literally enjoy being persecuted. Some are almost sadistic in that line of thought, and in their relationships with other people seem to get joy out of being beaten and harmed and persecuted in one way or another. Now, the Bible does tell us that we are to find joy in times of persecution, but that's talking about finding the joy because we are serving God, and the joy comes from our relationship with Him during times of persecution and not just from the persecution itself. God doesn't want us just to look to see how much we can be persecuted and how much we can complain about what's happening in life and then out of that try to say to people, oh, look how patient I am. I don't think that's what he's talking about when he talks about patience and endurance. And then in the third place, patience is not suffering for things that we bring on ourselves intentionally. You know, sometimes a person will do something to himself physically so that he can suffer and he can get the sympathy and the attention of other people. That's not the patience that's being talked about here. We're told that we are blessed and happy when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake in the Beatitudes of Matthew 5. But if you will look closely there, it says when you are falsely accused. Not when you're doing what's wrong and you're accused of it and then you claim patience. Yes, 1 Peter 4:16 says if we suffer as a Christian, we ought to glorify God because we have that opportunity. But if you'll notice the verse just before it in verse 15 says, if any man suffer as a thief or a murderer or an evildoer or a busybody in other man's affairs, it's a different story. And this patience that we're talking about is not suffering under something that we intentionally bring on ourselves and try to suggest that we enjoy that and then get attention because of it. What is the patience that's involved here? Having glanced at 2 Peter chapter 1, now turn to Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. I find sometimes that if I go to the Scripture, that some of the best sermon outlines are right there in the Scripture. I believe that's the case tonight. I think in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we have at least a three-point outline given on the subject of patience that probably will help us to understand the patience of 2 Peter 1 in a better way. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to notice three things that are indicated in that passage. Number one, patience is endurance in difficult times. Endurance in difficult times. The Bible teaches us that persecution will come. In the world you will have tribulation, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33. Again and again throughout the book of Acts in the early history of the church, there was the promise, you're going to face some difficult times if you stand for me. And that promise comes to us today, although we in the place where we live may be shielded from much of the persecution that's suffered by Christians in other places. But the Bible indicates that there will be difficult times. There will be those who will criticize the church. There will be those who will criticize you. I don't care what you do and how you do it. There will be things that are said that hurt. There will be things that are done that tend to undermine your faith and your trust in God and your service to Him. There will be times of persecution. But the Bible points out that sometimes that's when we grow the most, both individually and collectively. The church was persecuted in its early history. In Acts 8, for example, they went everywhere as they were scattered abroad preaching the word. The persecution and difficulties of that time contributed to the spread of the gospel and the carrying out of the Great Commission. Sometimes you and I forget the importance of prayer until there's a difficult time. And then there's a storm, like Andrew. And we begin to get to our knees again and realize how dependent we are on God and how little we are to try to stop some of these things that happen. Difficult times, times of persecution, may very well be that which will help us to grow. And that's what's being talked about in this process of 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Growing in these Christian graces or these Christian qualities. Endurance in difficult times. And yes, God's word says there is to be an attitude of joy. I mentioned that a moment ago, that it's not joy in the sense that we just really find pleasure in dealing with problems, but that we find the pleasure in knowing that we're serving God and that with God's help we can meet these difficult times and we can overcome them. I like what's said there in Acts 5:41 when some of the apostles and early Christians said, it is said of them that they counted themselves, that they counted it an honor to be able to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. They counted it an honor that they could suffer for the cause. Now they were not really wanting to suffer, but if they needed to suffer for the cause of Christ, they counted it an honor. And don't you sort of see that attitude with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew a difficult time was ahead. And he asked his Father, if there's another way, then let that happen. But he said, whatever your will is, Father, that's what I want to do. And Christ went to the cross. Some of the songs we've been singing tonight were along that line. He went to the cross and he endured. He was patient. The real kind of patience that we're talking about. He endured on the cross and the difficulties, the persecutions, the tribulation, the suffering, and was willing to endure and be steadfast and to stick to it that the will of God might be carried out. And here in Hebrews 12, when he says we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, I think he's really talking about how we deal with difficult times, how we deal with those weights that are on our shoulders, those burdens that we have to bear. And all of us have burdens, some that we're to bear ourselves, some that we're to help each other, and some we're to turn over to God that are beyond the capability of any one of us or all of us to bear. But this patience that we're talking about is endurance in difficult times. Number two, as you look at the statement here where he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, I suggest to you that this patience is steadfastness in the race of Christianity. Steadfastness in the race and in the performance of living for God. It's not just sitting around doing nothing. It's not just acting as if we had no care whatsoever, but it is steadfastness in performance. Now that means, number one, that we need to be sure that we know the truth and that we stand for it. It's rather interesting. In Revelation, the 14th chapter and verse 12, which is just before that verse, it says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. He says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. What is the patience of the saints? They keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. They are steadfast in their performance and in their belief of the truth. There are other passages such as 1 Timothy 6:11 and 12 that tell us we are to follow after patience. Romans 1, 14 through 16, an attitude of Paul where he says, I am ready. I think that's really involved in this patience, ready to perform. The best example that I've ever found to try to get the idea across is a mother who's sitting by the bedside of a sick baby in the wee hours of the morning. She may be getting 40 winks. She may have one eye closed or both eyes closed, but at the first whimper of that baby, she springs into action. She is ready. She is ready to do whatever is needed in the work that is before her. And when we think about the patience that we're to have in our service to God, it's like that. We may not be performing every moment. We may not be actively involved in some program or some work just every moment, but we are ready. We are prepared and we're ready and we're steadfast. And we also recognize that this patience is involved in bringing about fruit, performing in the sense that we produce and we patiently, steadfastly work and continue to keep our shoulders to the task. Not just running out there and darting back and forth, but our shoulders to the task, just constantly pushing on in performance in the Lord's kingdom. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Sometimes when you listen to the description of the participants in some of the Olympics, especially those races that go for several hundred meters, maybe a mile, and into the distance it's longer than that, you'll hear the announcer say, now here's a runner that will be out fast in the first third of the race. And then he'll say, here's another one that will finish fast. He may not be out at the front, but toward the end he will come on in a fast way. And somebody else may be said about them in the middle part of the race, they'll run a fast leg. But you know who the winner is? It's the one that just keeps on keeping on doing his best in every part of that race. Steadfast, patience, endurance, perseverance. So it's steadfastness in performance. And then a third thing is indicated in verse 2 here in Hebrews 12. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the cross, or endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, looking unto Jesus. And in some of the passages that talk about patience, the indication is that we are to wait and to look forward to his return. In fact, if we just back up two chapters in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, verses 36 and 37, listen to what he has to say. He says, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you remember the steadfastness in performance, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. I suggest to you in the third place that patience is an expectant awaiting for the Lord's return. And continuing in this steadfastness in performance until he comes. We talk a lot about those who predict that Christ is coming on a certain day at a certain time, and we talk about how they don't know, and that is so true. But friends, I'll suggest something to you tonight. I believe that we may be just as wrong to allow ourselves to think that he cannot come today and that he could not come tomorrow or next week. If we are patient in our performance and we're looking to Jesus and we are awaiting his return, we are expecting him to return, realizing it may not be today or tomorrow, but it could be, and that we are awaiting his return and we're looking forward to that time when he will come, and know that when he comes, there will be the reward, the promise of the reward, patiently waiting for that reward to come. And you know, that's one of the longest waits that we have for any reward. Most of you in the audience tonight know what it's like when you've taken a test to wait until you hear what the grade is on that test. Sometimes you'll stand around and wait until the teacher posts the grade. You just can't wait to see what the end result is. And it takes a lot of patience on that. But you know, in this life, you and I are waiting maybe hundreds of years, and even in our own lives, tens and twenties of years, to receive that reward. It's a long wait sometimes. And it is patience that makes it possible for us to keep on keeping on serving the Lord and looking forward to that time that he will return. We've said three things tonight that are extremely important. Patience is endurance in difficult times with the Lord's help. Patience is steadfastness in performance. Just keep on doing the will of the Lord. And patience is an expectant awaiting the time for the Lord's return, believing that he is coming and yet willing to let him make that decision when he comes, and to just keep on day by day to be ready whenever it is. I really believe that's the kind of patience that's involved in the Christian life. And there's another passage that comes to mind that sort of sums up these three points. In 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how that you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. To turn to God from idols, turn to God and let him help us even in difficult times. And then to serve the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven. That's the patience that we're talking about. I know that we've not arrived at the degree of patience that we need, but let's work on it. And let's keep that steadfastness and that endurance and that faith that will help us to wait for the Lord's return, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, 100 years from now. And just keep on enduring and persevering in a steady, steadfast manner. taking the difficult times with God's help, performing in His kingdom day in and day out, and patiently waiting until the Lord returns. The only person who can do that is a true Christian. The only person who really can have that kind of faith and patience is a true Christian. That may be the reason why you need to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight. Either to be baptized into Christ and become a Christian, or to come back if you need to publicly repent of something. This is one of those qualities that is needed. Patience and endurance. If you don't have it, think about the need of responding to the Lord tonight as together we stand and sing.
Thickest fight, listening for His orders.